Hello and welcome to the Consumer Goods Forum End-to-End Value Chain podcast. My name is Joelle Mbuya Leclerc and I work in the communications team. In this podcast series, we'll be hearing industry insights from people working towards collaborative solutions that benefit the entire value chain. Today, we have the pleasure of hearing from Jamie Barsimantov, COO and co-founder of SupplyShift. He'll be sharing his thoughts on leveraging data for end-to-end visibility of labor and human rights risk in global supply chains. Good morning, Jamie. Thank you for joining us today.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
Excellent. So I'd just like to set the context a bit for our listeners before diving into the questions. So we know that consumers want to buy from brands that reflect their own values. So those are brands that treat workers fairly, protect the environment, and employ honest business practices. And technology is finding its way into this area because it requires the gathering, transformation, and loading of specific data. So it's important to ask ourselves, where are we in this process today? So in light of this, Jamie, my first question to you is, how are businesses currently using data to address labor and human rights risk in their supply chains? And can you describe what end-to-end visibility looks like versus a typical approach to supplier management and labor risk assessment?
Thanks, Joelle. Definitely looking forward to jumping into this topic. So what we find is that companies have a lot of commitments about labor and human rights. They make commitments about no forced labor, no child labor. And they really, I think, care deeply about not having those issues in their supply chain. And call that the commitment, right? And then there is the change, right? How do they actually create that change? How do they encourage suppliers to improve, change their practices? And in between is that big chunk of work, which is identifying the issues. Who are my suppliers? Who are my suppliers' suppliers? What are they doing? Are they lying to me? Are they telling me actually what's going on in their operations or not? And that's where the data comes in, right? There's an increasing level of data required to address this at a global scale. So if you look at any company, global company, they're going to have hundreds and hundreds of suppliers and an unknown number of tier two, tier three, tier four suppliers and so on. So tackling that challenge requires data, first of all, but you can't do the same process for every supplier in every part of the world. It's just physically impossible to gather that level of data, especially when most companies also, your companies in similar industries are also going to be asking for that data. So it creates this huge burden of information, and what information do you need from who and what do you do with that information can be a really big challenge. So we see this as there's kind of four phases to this process, all of which require data. First, you want to kind of do some kind of risk check, right? Who, based on what I know about my suppliers and who my tier one suppliers are, who should I be concerned about? Maybe without asking them for data to start, without auditing them, based on perhaps their geography, based on how much business I do with them, you need data to basically match up with your suppliers to understand who should I be concerned about. So that's step one. Lots of companies are doing that. Some companies maybe skip this step and go directly to asking their suppliers for information. So phase two, I'd call like a self-assessment phase. There are standardized self-assessments. There are customized self-assessments that might meet a company's code of conduct. And that's another layer of data that you might deploy to maybe a subset of your global supply chain, right? If you don't think you have risk of human rights violations in a certain segment of your supply chain, you might take a slice of your suppliers and look a little deeper with a self-assessment. Obviously, self-assessments are they're self-assessments. They're not audits. They're not third-party. They're not verified. So you can take that data with a grain of salt. But after all, it's data, right? How do you subset that data? How do you work with that data? How do you understand which are the ones you should worry about and which you shouldn't, right? That's another slice of data. The third slice of data would be audits. Audit data, unfortunately, tends to come back to companies as PDFs, check the box, yes or no, without much actionable information in them. So getting that data out of the audits and into a platform Also helps to know, how do you drive improvement? Where are my suppliers mostly failing and where are they mostly succeeding? Companies struggle a lot to get into the audit data and use the audit data. Last piece would be action and improvement, right? If I've done an audit, I might want to follow up on corrective actions. I might want to help suppliers understand how they're doing compared to each other. I might want to dig deeper beyond the audit and go to worker voice to understand maybe from the workers themselves how things are going rather than trusting the audit process. So each of these phases requires data. I think what we see is that companies understand this, right? They know that there are several slices they can take on how to gather data. What's missing from a lot of companies to make this actually efficient and scalable is, how do you put this all in one process? In one process, in one platform, where all the data is in one place. And so, for example, based on the results of that self-assessment, you know exactly who to assign the audit to and can use the data from one phase to automatically score, analyze, and inform the next phase. All of that frees up time when you can connect these phases to each other, connect the outcomes and inputs of the data from each phase. That's going to allow the company and the staff at that company to have much more time for the actual follow-up, like the actual communication with the suppliers, which is what's really needed once you find issues.
Great. Thank you very much, Jamie, for sharing that. And so, Jamie, can you tell me, what do you think the challenges are that businesses are facing as they work through these issues? So what visibility and informational gaps exist in their supply chains, and how can these gaps be filled, and what value do companies gain from filling them?
Yeah, great question. So one thing that I think companies thought 5 years ago was that if I do this for 80% of my spend, right, if I cover most of my direct spend, then I've addressed my risk. And we found over and over again through, you know, what happens in the news media and specific instances with companies, that it really doesn't matter if it's a small supplier or a big supplier. It doesn't matter if it's a tier one supplier or a tier five supplier. If that issue is associated with a brand, that's reputational risk. And it's something that is as important as the tier one large supplier doing something that is that they shouldn't be. And even more, you got to think that those tier one large suppliers are probably being audited by a lot of customers. And so it's probably not even as valuable for a company to look closely at that tier one supplier who might even be larger than their customer and scrutinize them because you've got to go to other areas of the supply chain to find the risk. So the challenges, the biggest challenges here, I think, are on the one hand, scale, right? How do you scale this so that you can actually get good visibility, understand what's going on, and address issues that you find? And on the other hand, it's reliability, right? We know that self-assessments aren't completely reliable. We know that audits aren't even completely reliable. So how do you, and these challenges kind of make each other worse, right? If you can't rely on the data and you need to scale, well, that's a real challenge. And then beyond that, I think once you find issues, I think what I hear over and over again for companies is that I've audited my suppliers. I've found their issues. They're not red flag issues, but they require improvement and they're not improving. Things stay the same. You know, audit after audit, we find the same issues and they're not improving. So these are really big challenges. I'm not going to tell you that software will solve them, but I will tell you that software will help you scale, right? And it'll help you do it faster. It'll help you understand the issues. It'll help you get all the data in one place so that you can do more faster. And when you find issues, you can do it. So biggest information gaps, I'd say, are beyond tier one. Lots of companies, I'd say the biggest companies, the ones that are most advanced, have really good systems for auditing and understanding human rights and labor issues at tier one. I'd say very, very few of them have anything in place beyond tier one. Maybe a little bit at tier two. Sometimes in some industries, you've got companies who kind of, you know, support in the contracting process with tier two suppliers, and they know where those materials come from. But then there's tier three and beyond, and there's so much that companies don't have visibility on.
Yeah, definitely. And so as more and more companies implement responsible sourcing as a standard business practice, How do you see information like this being used cross-functionally to enhance business decision-making from global brands?
I think one of an issue that I see is that the responsible sourcing teams, the ones that are charged with finding issues and correcting issues, are usually siloed. What they do and the results that they have and the data they produce remains within their small team. And they report out and they identify suppliers that have issues. But I think they can be a lot more successful and they can deliver more value within their companies when that data is used cross-functionally. So before the data is used cross-functionally, you know, we've got to use a platform to make things more efficient, right? To make their work better, faster, and be able to work with that data, right? That's just going to allow them to just do more, right? Beyond that, I'd say there are different audiences within the company that need to have access to that data. And I'm talking much further beyond than, you know, reporting out, right? Reporting out to leadership is great. That's a must, right? You got to be able to roll up your data, create some great analytics, and share that with your leadership. A few audiences that can really, if data is shared in the right way at the right time, is going to create a lot more value. The first would be procurement teams. So if I have a global supply chain with 30 different categories of suppliers, as a responsible sourcing manager, I should be able to make a dashboard for my procurement team who buys cotton or whatever they're purchasing. So that buyer of cotton can look at all their suppliers and know where the issues are and understand when they have that conversation with the supplier, what's standing out, what do they need to improve on? How does that even compare with the other areas of interest of the cotton suppliers so that they can make a great sourcing decision? Price, quality, sustainability, responsible sourcing, all these issues should be in one place where a procurement manager can make a great decision and encourage improvement. If that person who is actually buying the cotton, for example, doesn't have the information about responsible sourcing, they'll continue to make decisions just based on price and quality, which is not really going to solve the issue. So great visibility at the right time and the right way for procurement teams to make decisions, that's one. Another one is on the risk management side. On the reputation side, marketing and communication side, right? How do we get this information out to the public? We find that underlying all of this, companies want to have good stories to tell about what they're doing to address the issues in their supply chain. And that is a communications and marketing function. Those folks tend to have almost no visibility on the responsible sourcing data that's being collected. So if they have access to data, if they understand the trends, it could be as simple as how many suppliers did we audit this year compared to last year? Or on a certain KPI, our company overall has improved X percentage, right? These things marketing folks need to be able to extract stories and be able to search for stories within the data. And those communication channels between responsible sourcing and marketing can be really greatly enhanced by great dashboards that roll up data from all these different stages. The last audience, and unfortunately a forgotten audience cross-functionally and maybe not within the company, but outside the company are the suppliers themselves. Suppliers do not get enough feedback out of these processes. They need to understand not just whether they passed or failed and what they need to correct, but they need to understand how far behind they are their competitors.
Okay, thank you very much, Jamie. That was really insightful. And so I'd also like to know, Jamie, with more and more demands for information from both consumers and global brands, where do you see all of this heading in the next 5 to 10 years?
Yeah, I think the first thing you said is exactly true. In the next 5 to 10 years, there's going to be more and more need for data, right? More and more companies are going to want to know more and more things about more and more suppliers. And that can go in one of two directions, right? The direction we don't want is that becomes information overload. It becomes a big burden on suppliers, and we don't get the value out of that process, right? So suppliers are already inundated with multiple audits and multiple surveys. How do we resolve that? And so the pathway I hope we go down with is the network effect. If a supplier have a single profile where they get all of their requests and can basically repeat their responses to additional customers, then we're solving the problem, right? Then we're saying, instead of a supplier being overloaded by similar requests from different customers, they could get the same requests from different customers. And not only does that make efficiency for the supplier gets a clear signal from their customers that they all want the same thing. And if your customers all want the same thing, well, then as a supplier, you react, right? So the network effect is critical for this all to work. And I'm not talking about, what I mean is a network effect, not just at tier one, but all the way down the chain. So that this process of reusing your responses, submitting your responses to multiple customers, that happens at every tier of the supply chain in a way that that can actually contain the information requirements. Networks, I think, are a big part of the solution here to this data overload problem. But the other part of that is that the needs that companies have, the questions they want to ask, the data they want to gather will continue to change, right? We can't imagine that the assessment protocols of today will be the same as what they are in 5 years. On the one hand, they're going to ratchet up. On the other hand, they're going to want more kinds of information. And also companies, you know, they have a specific goal and they want to set that goal to differentiate themselves. And that's going to require different data.
Great. Thank you very much, Jamie. And just before we wrap up, if our listeners want more information from you on this very interesting topic, where can they reach out to you?
Sure. Just go to supplyshift.net and contact us.
Great. So thank you very much, Jamie, for joining us today. And we really hope to hear from you again soon.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
And thank you to our listeners for tuning into this episode of the End-to-End Value Chain podcast. And be sure to catch the next one. In the meantime, for more information about the End-to-End Value Chain initiative, please visit www.tcgfvaluechain.com.